Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. We have Kali Wisson with us all the way from Australia. Hey, Kali.
Hi, Gabor. How are you going? Hi, everyone.
From Brisbane, all the way from Brisbane. Kali and I were talking, and Kali teaches an online course with us, and he just had this great thought that he wants to discuss a little bit further on this podcast episode. And the title is Details with an S. So details, not detail. Okay, so details, not detail. So Kali, can you kind of explain to us what you mean by this?
Sure. Okie doke. So often do you notice as a teacher, and even in your own work, that it's so tempting to get sort of enticed into thinking, oh, you know what, if I add more sort of detail, if I add more visual information, if I just load on more and more and more, it's going to make the painting better, stronger, more exciting. It's going to impress everyone even more. It's going to really set the world alight. But that is always the subtle sort of draw. Sometimes, you know, I almost think to the dark side, because so often do we forget the details, as in, okay, is my tonal contrast right? Are my edges right? Is the brushwork fluent? Is it? So we're being distracted with the thought, you know what, all I have to do and all I want to do and all I need to do is to put more and more detail in, and that's just going to make it better and better. So making it more detailed. But so often, and many times actually I feel with my own work, because I almost see myself as an abstract impressionist, I'm starting off with a very loose idea and then I'm tightening up. Some people start off super tight and loosen, but the same concept works, because we're either working from a point of very little information or possibly too much, and we're bringing it back to that right area where we get all the details right. So we've made sure our drawing's right, our perspective's right. But then it comes right down to focusing on the finer details, as in, is the primary focal point working? Because that's our main draw card. It truly is like having that $20 million actor starring in your movie or your production. You're really relying on that performer, that area of the painting, that focal point. So if we start to overload other areas, thinking if it's a landscape and we're putting a whole heap of grass and tufts of grass in the foreground, it can draw focus. So for when it comes to that final finish, and this normally in my mind is happening in that last 10% of the painting's life. We do all the hard work to get it into this position, and that's when I tend to like to go into details mode. I'm checking, I'm doing those cross checks, I'm looking at the big shapes up against the small shapes, just finalizing that finished painting, the whole concept. A really busy scene, like a street scene, an interior, is really when this concept really does come into focus, into the forefront of my mind, because I'm thinking something in the background on the wall, it might be a painting. If I get too detailed too much detail, is it going to pull focus? So I'm making sure it's going back to that being the conductor of the orchestra. Might have 50 instruments, so you're lifting things up, pulling things down, but it's once again making sure, for me there's a making sure and actually getting it to work. There's a very, very fine line with tonal values. It could be a half value lighter, half value darker, warmer, cooler. So that's the little subtlety, not sort of, oh, do I have, if I'm doing a brick wall or what else, something, I say a steam engine, do I have every pipe and every wheel and every cog?
Yeah.
All of that doesn't help if we don't get the overall effect working and those main details really accurate, true, and working for us. So that needs to be in the forefront of our mind, I believe.
Would you say it can also hurt it too? I mean, it's like it can go so bad it can actually hurt having all those instruments playing, being all of them heard at the same time.
Absolutely. So true. Yeah. Because I like to equate it back to a novel like War and Peace or a massive novel. You can have a lot of information, but it can overload the viewer, overload the reader. That's why it is a lot harder to write a short story and get the same impact and build that visual story, that narrative as well. Yes, so true. So that's why I think as a teacher you see it so often, and it seems to be such a human instinct to come through in just about all of us and every one of us, that we see a subject that might be a really great boat and we want to put in all the ropes and the floating devices and everything, but it's so easy to lose track and, let the detail override those important details.
No, it's that's very true. And would you say naturally most painters, they start out with too much information? That's just a natural progression of a painter. As the years go by and the more they work, generally they start editing out. Would you say that's so? If somebody's listening and they started painting, not long ago, or they're sort of new in it, and they're putting too much detail in it, it's okay, right? It's not like, I mean, it's hard to see it right away. Yeah. You can't edit that, quickly. So
exactly, yeah, yep, so true, yeah. Because actually, you see it in not every single artist, but I think it's a majority. And actually, I think the one beauty of thinking details over detail is it simplifies the visual image. So not so much when people hear the word simplify, they think, oh, simple, that's easy. But it's more about connecting with the viewer, I believe. And that's why I place so much importance on the most important details, as that edge, that value, and are they working? Because because I think it does really drive the connection with the viewer, because the amount of times that you'll see a painting that is super detailed and you can think, oh, this is overload, and you'll almost walk past it, or if you're online you'll flick straight past it, because it's being detail driven, not narrative, and connecting with the viewer. Absolutely, it's a real subtlety actually, and it's something that I've always kind of abided by, but it does take that time, and that's where I think drawing is one of the greatest devices to learn how to visually portray something. Because you just cannot fake it with, oh, you know what, this scene's a little boring, I'll just throw in a little bit of yellow or a little bit of red. And I think, it comes right back to that great art of drawing, because it teaches us about shape, size, placement of object, sharpness of edge. To me, that's where I think I've derived this sort of approach. And once again, you don't have to draw every day your whole life, but it's getting enough drawing under your belt that you understand that visual process, that approach, having the right technique, making sure you're looking at those super important details that really is the essence of the scene and make that scene work. And then in fact, it then connects us with the viewer back with the scene as well, and really gets them involved and wanting to know more and it's a subtlety, but I think it's one that you hear so much that students or people will say, oh, you know what, did I get too much detail in this painting? And normally the people know that the answer is yes, but then the other trick is how to overcome that, but still have either as powerful or even more powerful. Because I think that's why people think detail-driven, you make the most powerful scene. But you can have all the detail in the world, but no contrast. It can be flat, no light-dark contrast, and it can be just a whole heap of little shapes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, yeah, level, yeah.
No, it's great. Yeah. I mean, we can go. There's definitely you can write a whole small book about this topic of
yeah,
you know, of detail or lack of it, or well, there's nothing wrong with detail.
Yeah.
So someone's listening, like, I like to paint more detail. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Daniel Sprick comes to mind. Do you know his work, Cully?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
fantastic.
you look at his work, and I like more looser work generally, but I really like his paintings. And to me, when I look at his paintings, I think when you look at his paintings, he puts great detail, obviously, into, but only to certain areas. And everything else is quiet around it. So he's definitely a master of design. So nothing wrong with detail. That's not what Kali's saying here. It's just it has to be in context too, I understand. Like if you would look at somebody's work right now, you would explain, you know, these areas and this and that. So what you guys are listening here, it's, you know, it's sort of a big picture of what Kali's talking about here.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point, actually, Gabor, because for me, it's the where and the when. A lot of people become detail-orientated and driven from the start, and that's where we start the whole process of, I believe, going a little, because I've been, people have said, oh, don't mention the word detail to Collie. Collie hates detail, but that,
that's not true.
Actually 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's the when. It's that people start putting detail in early on. Actually, you can be teaching a class, and it literally just happened recently, where a student was trying to get to the third level of the whole painting while they were still doing the first stage.
Mm-hmm.
So they've forgotten to make sure all the big shapes are interlocking, getting all those big shapes in place. So for me, it's the where we're placing detail, but more importantly, when. It needs to be really in that last 10%, 15% maybe, in that last period where you're really sort of getting, because everyone has, as you said, everyone has that different level of clarity and focus that you want in your work. So it's that when we do it, and it's normally in that last 10% of the painting. So just keep thinking big shapes, big broad ideas. That's why stepping back, I think, is so powerful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't get lost. The amount of times you'll see the painting look or the drawing look great up close, but as soon as you step back, you think that's all faded away. It's disappeared into sort of a hieroglyphics sort of nonsense. So it's that really, getting enough, but not too much. So, yeah, for me, it's almost like getting that focus on the camera lens of the old manual sort of focus, where you would sharpen it, and then you would know personally, okay, that's the clarity, that's the level of detail that I want, because I've looked at all the details and of the overall painting process, and then I brought it to life right in the last 10% of the painting day or painting's life.
Yeah. Actually, there's a camera called the rangefinder camera, and I heard about that term for a long time, but I didn't know what it was. And what it is, when you look through the, you're not looking through the lens. It's interesting. So you're looking through your viewfinder, but there's a box in the middle of the screen, but you're seeing everything around it. And that box within that screen is your picture. So you can actually see what's around it before you take the image.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's more of a painter's way of looking at things, called the rangefinder camera, and it's been around for a long time, I guess. I just never really investigated what it is. So what Kali's saying here, it's kind of like that, where you, before you make that commitment, you know, of where you want to focus be. So. We're drifting here a little bit, but well, thank you, Kali. This was great. I mean, again, we'll probably have more episodes on the sort of subtopics of it, because so many things relate into this discussion, basically. So thank you for your time.
Sounds
good. Yeah.
Pleasure. Thanks, Gabor.
So if you guys want to learn more with Kali, he teaches an online course with us with Tucson Art Academy Online. And it's a one-year-long program. You can come in as you go. There's no such thing as falling behind in this, that's why it's great. Kali's been teaching this for a while, so he really has things down digitally and how he interacts with you. He also has, we have three enrollments a year, one in March, July, and November. So depending on when you're listening, we definitely hope that you will take a look at this course ahead. We have a great Q&A page. Just go to our website at TucsonArtAcademyOnline.com and click under Mentoring Courses. And if you don't have the time for the course, he also has digital download videos that you can purchase, and just click on the video downloads button. So thank you for listening, and thank you again, Kali, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.